Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
On the line with us right now, and he's sponsored by Amelie's Furniture. Yeah. The Styles You Love For Less is the program director of WIP and the leader of the Ricky Sanchez Organization, Mr. Spike Eskin. Hi, Spike.
Oh, I feel like this call isn't going to go well.
Yeah. I got the same feeling, Spike, but let's just start. We're taking you to the final play of the game. As somebody, look, there's one thing we all share, and it is a real deep love for the Sixers. And both, I mean, you were a little kid, you were a Sixer fan. I was a little kid, I was a Sixer fan. When that thing went in, what did you feel?
So you remember when the Alshon Jeffrey drop against the Saints?
Yep.
And you just keep playing the play over and over and over and again in your head, thinking if you do it enough times, it won't be the same the last time you do it.
Right.
And I just sat there staring at the TV. The shot, it's so rare that the shot hits the front of the rim twice and then hits the back. Like, the fact that it got over the rim after being short was unbelievable. I was crushed. I haven't been crushed like that in a long time.
Spike, it hits four times before it goes down. It hits two on each side of the rim, which is but you're watching that, and you've been here through the whole process and all. Do you go, wow, we didn't do it? Like, what do you feel at that point? Do you feel a sudden desire to blame people for the failure? What do you experience as a fan in that moment?
No, I think you and I internalize sports a little bit differently. I wasn't mad. I was more like sad. I thought there are a lot of things that you could go through with this series and wish that you did differently. But I think overall, they fought pretty hard against a team that they were pretty evenly matched against, and a team that the Raptors were favored in the series, and they had home court in the seventh game. And I thought overall, from last year to this year, even though they didn't progress to the next round, I felt like the team was better and the team was much more prepared to handle this than they were last year. So I was mostly sad that the run was over. I just wasn't ready for the playoffs to be over yet.
All right. You tweeted that the Sixers have nothing to be ashamed of. Could you give us a little more on that?
Well, I said, you know, in the last few weeks of the season that I said this over and over and over again, that I didn't think it was realistic to think that you could make the giant changes that the team made in the middle of the season and also think that that team is a championship level team. The top four seeds in the Eastern Conference this year were pretty evenly matched. You know, Boston self-destructed, but otherwise those teams were pretty evenly matched. Which round they were going to lose in, I think, was a matter of circumstance as to when they faced them. I thought that team left everything on the court last night. It was not a perfectly played or even a well-played game, and game sevens rarely are. But I thought that team, where they could have self-destructed and they could have blamed each other and they could have point fingers while it got tough, a team that was put together midway through the season, I thought came together pretty well and fought pretty hard in that game.
All right, Spike, how are you rationalizing the three possessions that led to nothing at a critical point, not only in the game but in the season?
Well, I'm not rationalizing them. Now, like, you go back and you watch those three possessions. The first one was a play that they ran for Redick. There was a guy draped all over Redick. It went back to Butler in the corner, and he didn't shoot it, and he should have shot it. The other two possessions were Butler possessions. You know, the second one was a Butler pick and roll. They were trapping Butler on pick and rolls. They were blitzing him. So as soon as he got past Embiid, there were two guys on him. So he is not like an incredible playmaker or anything. So he just dribbles and dribbles and dribbles, and then the clock ran out. That was the guy that they relied on, you know, in the fourth quarters of games, that the defense was good and he didn't get a shot off and he should have. They drove me nuts. Those three possessions drove me nuts. But the other team played really, really, really good defense. And I think that there probably should have been a little more sense of urgency from Butler when there's 5 seconds left on the clock. He did the hot potato thing a couple of times, but I don't want to crush him because, you know, he was the only guy capable of making a play in that situation at that time, and he just didn't make a play.
Here's what I'm trying to understand, not just your thinking, but the thinking of a lot of process people, because you never seem to get overly emotional. This was historically awful end to a Game 7. Never happened before in the history of the NBA, a buzzer beater in a Game 7. And you seem to be able to handle it in a very, you know, logical way. Don't you get upset? Don't you say to yourself, how the hell did nobody do anything? What was the coach? What was the strategy in those possessions? Don't you look at it and say, somebody failed. I have to identify who it was because they ruined my month.
I think what the process did was it makes when the way that I think about sports and that what I get mad at and what somebody else might get mad at are different. I get mad at the 3 years of wasting chances to improve their team. And they did that for 3 years. They made trades and draft picks and all of these things that would have made it possible for the Sixers to rest Joel Embiid for more than 2 minutes in the final game without getting outscored by 10 points. Those things frustrate me because once they get on the court, I have to believe that most times those guys are doing their best and trying their best. And sometimes they're just going to fail. Sometimes the shot isn't going to go through. Sometimes they're going to run they're not going to box out well enough and the other guys get the ball, but there's nothing I can do about that. There's nothing you know, once they're on the court, they just have to win. It was the other times. It was the times leading up to this that they have five centers on the roster, and not one of them could back up Joel Embiid without the entire team falling apart in this series. That was a huge problem, and that is a systemic problem that is years long.
Hey, Spike, where's Toronto in their process? I mean, it looked like they had a one-man team that they picked up last year as a free agent, not as a free agent, but through trade that we could not get. Where are they at in the process?
Well, I don't know. You're asking. I feel like that's a setup, and where they
well,
at,
it is. I mean, you're.
Process.
It's where are. They, where, what won, is Toronto? Keith, what is the team that beat you?
Keith, they won 58 games last year, and their best player
and fired their finals, coach, right?
Yes, but they won. But that team had and traded their second best player.
Yep.
For Kawhi Leonard, who's probably going to leave. So why don't we have the same conversation next year at the same time when Toronto's
so they're basically you're saying they're going nowhere.
I think they're going to get demolished by the Bucks. But every team's in a different situation. This Raptors team has been good for years, and they realized that they had hit a wall with their two best players, so they traded one of their best players for another guy who may leave at the end of the year. But to say that the Sixers are at their wall when Ben Simmons is in his second playoffs and Joel Embiid is in his second playoffs is crazy. Like, we have this completely warped view of where this team should be right now. Now, I think that is in large part the fault of the organization for puffing their chests out, from Brett Brown preseason to Elton Brand midseason to Josh Harris to everyone talking about how we're not going to accept anything less than the finals. Well, that's not realistic. You know, Michael Jordan failed for 6 or 7 years before he won a championship. LeBron James failed for 6 or 7 years before he won a championship. And just because we say, boom, we added Tobias Harris, we're a championship team now, that doesn't make Ben Simmons any older. It doesn't make Joel Embiid any more experienced. And it doesn't put them in the sort of position to win a championship that they said it was going to be. So that's where my frustration is in the expectation of what they're capable of.
Are you bringing Brown back?
Yeah, I mean, I would.
Not
I don't know if they will.
What is your read on whether they will or not? That's really a bigger question. What's your read on that?
My read is that the front office that is in place now was the same front office, aside from Brian Colangelo, that's been there for 3 years. I don't think they have liked Brett Brown from the very start of it. I don't think that they have. I took Mark Stein, I don't know if you guys talked about Mark Stein's report, but I took it a little bit differently than everybody else did. I don't think they drew a line in the sand and said, win this game or you're gone. I think they want to get rid of him, and that a finals run would make it difficult for them to do it. I think they will keep him, but my sense is he will be on a very, 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 very short leash next year. And I would be really cognizant of who ends up filling out his staff, because I would be interested to see if there's a coach they like a lot that is an assistant coach for him next year.
Last thing, Spike. Did you get a full night's sleep?
No, I slept for about 3.5 hours.
3.5 hours. All right, great. We'll see you later today then.
All right.
We're pretty grumpy, too. Rhea Hughes, for those keeping track at home, got 0 hours sleep.
Do you know what it felt like to me?
Zero. Al, she didn't sleep a single wink.
Mm-hmm.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.